You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hello there, everybody. Happy New Year. Welcome to a brand new edition of On to the Next One. Of course, we are on a rare break from UFC action. They return on January 15th, but we're not going to leave you hanging, as we're bringing you a two-part edition of our predictions extravaganza. So how this is going to work is, this first part is we're going to take a look back on our predictions for 2021 and see how we matched up against each other. And then next week, we're going to do the bold prediction show for 2022. More of a buy-sell, and then we'll give our bold predictions, who we think will be champions, etc. And we're going to need your help for this program, and we'll discuss that a little bit later on. But I am Mike Heck. Thank you for checking us out. It has been quite the year for matchmaking here on MMAfighting.com. And I couldn't do it without the man, the myth, the legend, the co-host, the co-matchmaker, the best friend in the Prince of Positivity, who is joining us once again, Mr. Alexander Cayley. AK, how are you, my friend? Happy New Year.
My best friend, Michael Heck. I am well. I hope you're well also. I am so excited for this show. I'm so excited to look back on all the amazing predictions I made that I know. I think they all came correct. I think 100% of them came correct. I don't even know why people like bother like making predictions or watching MMA. Like, you just listen to our show at the beginning of the year. And at the end of last year, you're pretty much set. You pretty much know what's going to happen. There's really no surprises. I don't remember exactly what I said. You know, I have the memory of a goldfish. I can't remember what I predicted last week, but I'm looking forward to this one. I'm looking forward to, you know, having a little fun with ourselves, as it were. That sounded bad.
Yes, but I love the show. This is probably my favorite show of the year. I used to do it with other media members when I was on the freelance gig, but now that, you know, I have my partner in crime here, it's just even better. So basically, to kind of go through, we run down a series of listener questions, and some of them are just sort of easy questions to answer. Some of them are super outside of the box, and we just offer buy or sell answers based on those questions. So we do that for a stretch of them. Then we talk about who would be the champions at the end of the year, and then we make our, as AK said on last year's episode, the We Caliente prediction of the year that probably isn't going to come true, and if it does, we are absolute geniuses, and there'll be a little bit of discussion on our bold predictions, I can tell you that. So AK,
listen, we say if it comes true it wasn't bold enough.
Well, this one was ridiculously bold, but it might have actually happened, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's run through these bold predictions that came from the listeners, and before we even presented this, and before I even came out with MMA Fighting, people knew where to send these predictions. And luckily, we had a whole bunch of them, and then we got a few more that sort of sprinkled in because we had pretty much just gotten the show started. I think we were like 14 or 15 episodes in. But this was the buy-sell portion of the predictions extravaganza for 2021. So, AK, the very first question that was asked was, buy or sell, Conor McGregor will fight 3 times in 2021. I sold. You also sold, so we were both correct. And yeah, oddly enough, AK, had he not suffered the broken leg against Dustin Poirier in July, he might have very well fought 3 times. right? I mean, he fought before, like just at the midway point, he had already had two fights under his belt.
If he had beaten Poirier in the rematch, I think it's pretty clear they would have given him a title shot. He would have been fighting for the UFC title sometime before the end of the year. But again, I don't think he was going to win either of those fights. I think either way, even if he loses and doesn't get injured, I don't know. I'm not convinced that he fights again. I think if he goes 0-2, I think he takes a break. The guy has so much money. I think he only would have fought three times if he had won the second fight. So you're right. It was closer probably than I imagine we must have been pretty dismissive of the idea at the time. I probably said he was only going to fight once, if at all. but I kind of stand by it. I don't even know if I don't know if even without the injury, unless he won. I don't know. I don't think we see him ever fight more than two times in MMA in a year again. I can't imagine it.
So we're both on the board with that one. The second question was Patricio Pitbull, who had started the year with two Bellator titles, would end the year with at least two Bellator titles. I bought that. I thought he would go through the Grand Prix, or I thought there'd be some sort of delay in the Grand Prix that he would end the year as the featherweight champion. And I thought there's no way he's going to defend the lightweight title. So by default, he would end the year with two titles. Turns out he ended the year with zero titles. So AJ McKee is the featherweight champion. His brother, Patricky, is now the lightweight champion. I bought that he would have two titles. AK, you did not buy that. You sold that, so you got the point. Your thoughts on your prediction, because you nailed that one.
Yeah, I was more optimistic probably about the tournament concluding this year. Yeah, you tried to win on a technicality, Mike. You're very shifty, just like those all those Boston sports teams always are, always getting away on technicalities and little tweaks to the rules in their favor. I know how you guys do it down there. But yeah, that it was pretty much, you're right. Will the tournament finish? Do you think AJ McKee is going to beat Pitbull? That was really it. That's really the basis of that buy or sell call, right? So I just thought, yeah, it's McKee's time, and I think the fight's going to happen as scheduled, and it did.
Next one, or the next two actually, had to do with the return of the Ultimate Fighter, AK, because at this time we knew it was coming back. We didn't know any of the particulars about it, and the question was, buy or sell, Colby Covington and Jorge Masvidal will be the coaches for the 2021 season of The Ultimate Fighter. We both bought that. We thought it was super obvious that it would happen. And of course, it did not happen. We got Alexander Volkanovski and Brian Ortega. So we were both wrong about that one. We both bought it, and the UFC, I don't know what happened there. It seems so obvious. And again, it seems obvious. And I have a feeling it's not going to happen again.
This is Masvidal and Covington, right?
Yes, as the coaches.
I'm glad I was wrong, and I hope it. I hope it never happens. As I told people, the coaches are not. I don't care who you have in those coaching positions. It's not going to fix. Or sorry, you shouldn't have active fighters. Let me put it that way. I don't care what active fighters you have in the coaching positions. It's not going to fix the show. The show needs several tweaks and changes, maybe a complete overhaul. And all that does, honestly, is just delay a fight between the two. If those two are signing on to fight, just make it happen as soon as possible. Don't tell me they're signing on to fight after filming a show and then training, and it's just a recipe for disaster. So yeah, my whole thing with Ultimate Fighter, I've said this many times, get permanent coaches like Iron Chef, 4 to 6 permanent coaches like Chael Sonnen and Matt Serra, guys like that, guys who actually are compelling personalities and want to coach. I don't know if they want to be on the show and spend all that time filming, but there's someone out there who will. Find actual coaches and people who want to coach. James Krause would think would be amazing. That'd be so sick. Again, he'd probably rather just coach and not do a TV show, but still. So that's my thing. Covington and Masvidal would be fun, sure, but I don't care to see them on that show.
And mentioning all the changes that need to be made to make The Ultimate Fighter more palatable, if you will, the question was, will the UFC just fold The Ultimate Fighter and say, this is the last season of Tough? We both, you were like, absolutely not, no way. I'm selling that, and I was like, they probably should have this conversation, but they won't. So we both sold that, and we were both correct. The Ultimate Fighter moves on. We have a new season to look forward to in 2022, AK. So there
never die.
That.
Never die. Never die.
Next question was that Zabit Magomed Sharipov would fight for a UFC title in 2021. AK, you bought this one. You thought it was going to happen.
No, I didn't.
You sure did.
I got to go back and listen to that audio.
Yep, you bought it. It wasn't a very confident buy, but you bought it. I sold it. I said, even if he does come back, the timing is just not going to line up with how the division looks like right now, because Holloway and Cater are about to fight. We had no idea what the title picture was going to look like. This is before Brian Ortega, you know, kind of jumped in there. No, he was already sort of in there, but we didn't know when the fight was actually going to happen. So there's too many unknowns. So I just went ahead and sold that for those purposes.
He hasn't fought in 2 years.
It's crazy.
2 years. Calvin Kattar, November 9th, 2019. 2 years. Just goes 2 years. This guy's prime. He's 30 now, so I've got plenty of prime left. But that's two prime years. We should have been watching this guy slam people and spin and do all his fun stuff. And wow, that's wild.
It's crazy to think about. The next question was, Kevin Holland would equal or surpass his activity from 2020. Five fights or more. You sold it. You thought about it, but you sold it. I bought it. I thought he was definitely going to fight five or six times, especially thinking now that 170 is more of an option because he kept talking about it. Like, I'll just go to 170 and keep fighting. Like, I don't really necessarily care about titles. Just want to fight as much as possible. So I thought five fights for Kevin Holland was a no-brainer, and I was wrong. So AK gets the point there.
Yeah, I think I just thought, like, mathematically it'd be two. Five is so many. I mean, five is so many. This year we only had, what, like, Chris Curtis fought, like, of, like, people who eventually made it to the UFC. Chris Curtis fought, like, seven times. Five, I think, like, five times outside the UFC in a couple of UFC fights. But, I mean, even that's hard to do. Even I think, getting a bunch of regional fights in the same year, you have to have luck with not getting injured and just everything. So how many times did Kevin? He still fought three times, Kevin Holland, this year.
Yep.
Man, so that's a down year for him. It's three fights, and most fighters are always trying to get that three fights in every time. So yeah, good for him.
Because most of his fights in 2020 happened the second half of the year. So I thought five fights. He had like four fights in like 4 months.
Yeah, true.
So now we move ahead to one of the more interesting questions. Was buy or sell that the Diaz brothers would have more fights than Uriah Faber in 2021? We both sold that. I said that we'd get one Diaz fight. You said we'd get zero Diaz fights. So we were both incorrect about that because we saw both Diaz's fight in 2021.
AK. Oh my gosh, we did. Leon Edwards, Robbie Lawler, right?
Yeah, we saw the Diaz fight.
They both only fought once, right? I'm not crazy, right?
They both only fought once. Yes.
Still, that's again, like you said, way more than I expected.
Yeah, I thought Faber would fight once against Dillashaw, which I know the UFC was discussing. I was driving the train for that fight. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I thought maybe we'd see Nate fight. But Nick, I didn't think we'd see. So I thought we'd be even Steven. But yeah, there we go.
When did we last see Uriah Faber? Did we see him? Did he fight more recently?
Piotr Jan fight, right?
Was that more recently than Zabit Magomed Sharipov?
That's a great question.
I got to look this up.
Yeah, right, look
now.
It up.
All right, go ahead. We can.
Was Jan, maybe Jan was 2020? Or December of 2019, maybe?
It's so hard to remember now. Again, we always say, just barely. It was a month after Zabit's most recent fight. This is December 2019. So
245?
So it's kind of crazy to say that Uriah Faber has fought just more recently. Like, I mean, just barely more recently than Zabit Magomed Sharipov. That's not how it should be.
The next question we both got correct, AK. Buy or sell Colby Covington would fight for the UFC welterweight title in 2021. We both bought that. He did fight for the title in a very competitive fight with Kamaru Usman. He was on the wrong end of that decision. And I want to see them fight again, AK. Maybe not this year, but I definitely want to see them fight again. Colby Covington's actually pitched, let's just do a best of seven between the two of us because we're so evenly matched. It was almost the most respectful Colby Covington headline in the history of mixed martial arts media. But here we are. Colby Covington wants a best of seven. I don't think it happens, but I would like to see those guys fight one more time.
Best of five, maybe. You make it an impromptu best of five now, so Colby really has to fight to earn, you know, the other two fights. If he loses again and goes down 3-0, I don't see that. What's like? Why do a best of seven series? You just say it was a best of five all along, and again, 3-0 would win the series for Usman. But if Covington beat him, then of course then suddenly that opens the door potentially for one or two more fights. So best of seven is a bit of a stretch.
Next question had to do with the Professional Fighters League because they were making all sorts of signings in 2020. They didn't actually have a season in 2020, but they were signing all these different people. At the time we recorded, the question was a current top five UFC fighter would sign with either Bellator or the PFL. I bought that. You sold it and you were correct, AK. None of the current top five fighters in the UFC changed promotions to Bellator or the PFL in 2021. So you were correct and I was wrong.
Yeah, who were some of the biggest, I should have this open. Who were some of the biggest acquisition, like departures or that went from UFC to another promotion? I can't really think of any.
I think Rumble, like, maybe? Like Rumble was the big one.
But that happened in 2020. He just debuted in 2021. Like, when the signing was in 2020. Like, I think a lot of the signings happened that year. And then I think we saw them kind of play out this year. But I don't remember.
I don't think any of the top five guys actually jumped ship.
Someone will listen to this. and be like, how could you forget? And it's just like, you know what? You're right. Whoever it is that's calling us out right now, I'm just telling you now, you're right. I apologize. We missed it. I'm just kind of taking a quick look at the rankings in Bellator. Don't remember anyone jumping over. So, yeah, I think we're okay. Katsangano? No, that was last year.
That was 2019 maybe. I think she's been there for 2 years.
Carmouche? That was also last year, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Last September. Okay, so, yeah, really, signings happened in 2020, and they kind of just actually played out in 2021.
Next one was John Jones, Conor McGregor, or a big star in the UFC would retire in 2021, or at least say they were retiring. And we couldn't buy this one fast enough, and we were both correct. Both of them, I know Conor McGregor said he was done at one point. And I don't know if John Jones said he was done at one point.
He might have. I'm pretty sure he did. He might have deleted. It's hard. Honestly, it's hard to tell with him. I screenshotted a lot of his tweets. I'd have to go through them to see all the stuff he deleted. And, Conor, I mean, he's always saying stuff like that. John Jones, and we said, some other big star,
or one of the big stars will retire, or at least say they're retired.
Ally Quinta, Maria Cadelia. Yeah. Come on, just big stars to me.
I mean, Daniel Cormier retired.
There you go.
But I don't know if we put him on the same pedestal in terms of star power. Cormier, obviously a very popular guy, but
plus he announced it like two years ago.
Yeah, 2019. I'm going to fight in 2021, and that's it. Sticking with John Jones, buy or sell, John Jones would fight for the heavyweight title in 2021. We both bought it. We were both incorrect about that one.
Sorry, which one was that, Mike?
John Jones would fight for the heavyweight title in 2021. We both said that he would. We bought it, and that did not happen.
Optimism. That's an optimism buy. That's like we just wanted to see it, I think.
Next one, buy or sell. During our end of the year awards for MMA fighting, a fighter from the PFL would be nominated for one of our awards. We both sold that, and we were both wrong. Haush Manfio was nominated for Rookie of the Year for MMA fighting. And was that it? Kayla Harrison for Fighter of the Year?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Wait, we sold?
We both sold that.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
I'm
such a PFL stan. How could I do that?
We just weren't sure. We thought about like Anthony Pettis maybe, and maybe some other names for like a knockout of the year, but we didn't really have, like we had some good finishes from the PFL. We had some really good fights from the PFL, but compared to like the UFC and some of the fights the UFC put together and some of the finishes the UFC and Bellator had, it just seemed like a tough one. We both thought about it, AK. It wasn't something that we were like, hell no, that ain't going to happen. But we were like, I'm going to say we only get 5 choices. Nah, it's not going to happen. So
I'm not even mad at myself. I'm just disappointed.
But AK, the next question was, at the end of 2021, we would consider the PFL season a very big success. And I think we both bought that. And I'm going to go out and say we both got that one correct. I thought this is a successful year for the PFL. A lot of great storylines, a lot of great stories. Some were really good. Some ultimately were not so good. Kind of a downfall year for the Anthony Pettises of the world and some of the bigger names that they brought over. But I think all in all, this is a good year for the PFL outside of just their actual broadcasts and how long these events actually take. You take some of that stuff out of the equation. This is a great year for the PFL, but man, they got to do something about the lengths of these cards and, you know, have some more fun. You have the opportunity to have more fun than really anybody right now, and you got to take advantage of that. But all in all, pretty good year for the PFL, was it not?
Yeah, Kayla Harrison breaking even further into the mainstream. Again, we're not saying, you know, she's a Ronda Rousey level star yet. She probably never reaches that level. But if people are talking about her, that means they're talking about the PFL, at least somewhat. There is some trickle down, I guess. It's probably not the word I'm looking for, but there's definitely some, some benefit to that league to have her sort of emerge as this one star that everyone's talking about. Will she jump to the UFC? Will she jump to Bellator? Obviously, if she goes back to the PFL, that's huge for them. So they did a great job building her up. But I don't know if were we right that it was a big success? As you mentioned, another thing people talked about besides Kayla Harrison was the pacing issues. I think they were postponed once by a Texas high school football game or something, which is just – was that them or Bellator? No, it was PFL. It was PFL because on ESPN2, right?
Yeah.
And that's brutal. And by the way, that's completely understandable because I think, you know, anyone who knows, like, high school football, college football in the U.S. is so huge. I mean, that high school football game probably did a better number than the PFL, for being honest, which is not a knock on the PFL. It just kind of shows how ingrained football is in, in North America. But, yeah, they have to work on that stuff. And the other thing is they're without as of now, still without a broadcast partner for 2022, right?
Right.
So I don't know if we can call it an unequivocal success. I think we would need to know that they were, you know, that they did enough numbers that there's at least some sort of bidding war, or we know at least one or two interested parties that are going to broadcast them again. Because if they end up sort of taking a step backwards from ESPN2 and ESPN, I don't know if we can call 2021 a success. So I'm dinging my own buy there, unfortunately.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I think the way we looked at it was because they didn't have a 2020 season. They actually were in the news quite a bit in 2020, despite not having any cards, not having a champ, like an actual season at all. I think like overall, like in terms of storyline and fighters and people actually caring about the PFL, I thought it was their best season ever, if we're being honest. I mean, ratings and stuff like that. So it's just a matter of like care, don't care. And I think people cared more than didn't care. So to me, after not having a 2020 season, that's a success. People not dumping all over the PFL. I mean, the actual broadcast and, you know, the pacing issues, that sucked. That hurt them. Those cards seemed like, I mean, literally like going to the dentist and getting teeth pulled out of your face without any sort of masking drug at all. Like that's what some watching some of those cards are like. But the fights themselves are really good. It just took 40 friggin' hours for the cards to happen. So hopefully they work on that and we have some fun.
Give the PFL a chance, people. If you're not watching PFL, give it a chance. We need alternatives outside of the UFC, outside of Bellator. We just need alternatives, you know.
Yes. Next question was, Khabib Nurmagomedov will either fight in 2021 or have a fight booked by the end of the year. So Khabib by now would have a fight booked for 2022. Where are we? Okay, I bought that. And you sold it. You didn't see Khabib coming back. I took a shot. I said there, but I had a little caveat to it that the UFC and Eagle FC would have some sort of partnership. They would go into business in some way, and that would be like the deal. Like the UFC will back them, but Khabib has to have one more fight, and that didn't happen. So I was wrong, and you were right.
I love hearing those words. And secondly, I do wonder, this Eagle FC thing, I almost feel like it's such a shame if he doesn't, I don't know if he does a fight, maybe, but he has to do, I feel like he has to come back, do some sort of exhibition, right? Maybe like
a grappling match?
Right? An exhibition, right? Just to give it that little boost. I mean, the U.S. debut, it's, I guess we'll see how it goes. You know, they have some star power, at least, with like Rashad Evans and Kevin Lee and all that. And but it's definitely missing something, especially when you have Khabib's name attached to it. I think people are going to be asking him to do something active inside the Eagle FC, like, you know, cage or ring. They find a cage, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I should know this. I cover this all the time. But I think they're going to need to see him do something. And I still believe if Charles Oliveira goes on a run, let's say 2021, let's say he knocks off like three dominant title defenses. Sorry, 2022, excuse me. Then I think in 2023, I think Khabib will get that itch. I think he'll get that itch. I think, and I've been saying this, by the way, since Khabib retired, that if someone else went on a dominant run, I think he would want to come back. But it has to be like five consecutive title defenses, just wiping out guys like KHG and just like clearing out the division. So still a long shot. But if you're Khabib, I mean, I think you have still have that competitive itch, and he's a big enough name that he could come back. And I think the UFC would welcome him back, even if they're like, oh man, he might retire again right after. I think they'd still do it.
I think it'd be the GSP fight, and that's it. And I don't know if GSP even...
He ain't coming back. He's
I don't think that's happening. So next one was, Cody Garbrandt will fight for a UFC title in 2021. Man, does that question just sting a little bit now. You bought this, AK.
No, I didn't.
You sure did. You bought it quickly. I sold it. I said it just wasn't going to happen. I didn't think his year would be as catastrophic as it has been for him. But yeah, I just didn't see it happening. I just didn't. I kind of saw the writing on the wall, but not as much writing as there actually appeared to be on the wall. I saw it out of my left eye and not my right eye, if that makes sense.
They wanted to give him a title shot. He was supposed to fight for the flyweight title last December. And then we all thought if they don't give him a flyweight title shot right away when he drops, he's one win away. Surely there is someone at flyweight that he can just knock off and get that title shot. So I'm certain this was my thinking behind that buy decision. And I wasn't wrong. I know I wasn't alone in this. But boy, yeah, I'll say it again. Kai Kara-France is not the name that I would have matched him up with. And if you had told me that was going to be the fight he had to win, to earn a title shot, I would have had a very different prediction.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was going to happen or not. Next question was, buy or sell that Kevin Holland would fight for a UFC title and Khamzat Chimaev would not. And we both bought that. Of course, neither fought for a title. And so technically, that's kind of like a draw because Khamzat didn't fight for a title either by the wording of the question. So we're both incorrect, but not necessarily. So we'll just call that a draw.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Even money. I think we deserve that. Mm-hmm. John Jones versus Israel Adesanya would be booked sometime in 2021. We both sold that. So we were both correct about that one.
Yeah. Too much to happen. Too much to happen still with both those guys.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
This actually becomes a really interesting question. At the end, buy or sell at the end of the year, Mike Perry would not be in the UFC. And we both sold that. And he's no longer in the UFC. And you weren't happy. I mean, you weren't happy about it, but we both sold that. But it's funny how that was actually a question, and it turns out he's not in the UFC anymore.
So whoever asked that, kudos to you. I mean, you deserve that, because obviously they're implying that they thought that they themselves probably thought he wasn't going to be in there. So thank you for that. So good job on that one. But yeah, that was probably me being pessimistic. People know I'm not a Mike Perry fan. So I was probably just like, oh, they're never going to get rid of this guy. It doesn't matter what he does or how many fights he loses. UFC likes him. So good on you, UFC, for making the decision to cut bait there.
Next question was, buy or sell a UFC star would cross over to the world of professional wrestling in 2021. We both bought that, and we were both correct, because there were several of them, and Jorge Masvidal definitely checks off those boxes, does he not? I mean, we were both correct about that. And neither of us mentioned Masvidal. We thought Colby, we thought Paige? DC, and Paige isn't in the UFC. Paige isn't in the UFC and wasn't at the time,
I
believe.
Oh, that's right. This is true.
But yeah, Masvidal did, and was a name we didn't even think about.
Yeah, AEW brought in a lot of people. Yeah, it was fun to see. Junior Dos Santos, I guess, wouldn't count. I guess he was probably already released by the UFC by then.
Arlovski would count.
Arlovski would count. And man, JDS had a match. I mean, he had a match. That was fun. And it was so much fun. He did a Hurricane Rana. It was just great. And I'm glad. I'm glad that one came true.
By yourself for the next question, Joe Rogan would be part of his final UFC broadcast in 2021. We both sold that, and that was a pretty easy sell for both of us.
Well, we don't know. Who knows? Maybe 20. What if?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Tomorrow.
Incomplete.
Incomplete. But no, I think you're right. He doesn't sound. He sounded like he was like a little bit burnt out there for a while. And then once they changed to the, you know, well, you only have to do pay-per-views, and you only have to do the pay-per-views you want. So he's only doing like what, 10, maybe 10 or less events a year now.
Yeah.
I think he's fine. I think he's loving it. He just does the big fights, and you know, that's, he's got a good system going. So, yeah, I don't see him now. I don't see him stepping back at all.
There's another one that we were both incorrect about, but I can't read it. So, all right. So that was the buy or sell portion. So now we're going to go, we actually did pick fighters of the year, male and female fighters of the year. Okay. So your male fighter of the year, you picked Israel Adesanya, which it's just not right. He just isn't. You can't even make an argument for it because he's 1-1 for the year.
Do you want me to?
Go ahead. If you want to argue it, you're, trust me, your pick was better than
I mean, if you want the EKC Leiden explanation, oh, well, he went the distance with the light heavyweight champion and he had a dominant title defense. No, I don't think he made, he did not make my list. That's for sure.
I picked Calvin Kattar and that was not right.
So what did you think was going to happen?
For me?
What did you think was going to happen for him to do that?
I thought Kattar was going to beat Holloway, and then he was going to beat Volkanovski and become the champion.
Whoa.
So, yeah, that's what I thought was good. That's why I picked him. It was out of the box, and I sold it as such. I wasn't confident in it, but I said, you know what? If I'm right, then I am the genius of all geniuses, because I'm probably the only person in MMA media to pick Calvin Kattar as the male fighter of the year. And it turns out we're both incorrect.
The cojones on this man.
I know. The female fighter. We were both wrong on the female fighter of the year as well, AK. You picked Zhang Weili. I picked Amanda Ribas, and we were both incorrect. They both had very interesting years.
So what would our two be? I guess it'd be what, Rose, Kayla, Valentina, something like that, right?
Juliana Pena.
That win just blew me away, and I keep forgetting. I do feel like I probably under. Oh yeah, I voted for her in my Fighter of the Year list. I do feel like I've probably downplayed it, but you know, Mike, I've been embroiled in a lot of like, what is the greatest upset of all time talk. And I think in downplaying it compared to some other ones, I've like made it like diminished what she accomplished, but that was really like an amazing win. I also, by the way, give her points for the Sarah McMahon win. I know people like kind of view Sarah McMahon as like, you know, certainly past her prime. That's fine. But I still think Sarah McMahon is a quality win. And I think Pena looked great in that fight, and then obviously looked amazing in the Nunes fight. So yeah, I think a well-deserved women's fighter of the year, and certainly not who I would have picked heading into this year.
100%. I still lean Valentina. Like I just think she's so far ahead, and she pitched two perfect games against. I mean, Lauren Murphy's just super durable and tough, but Jessica Andrade, everyone thought like this is the one that's going to test her, and she probably had the best performance of her entire career in that fight. So, mm-hmm. I mean, beating Amanda Nunes is massive and definitely gets you points, but I'll 1A 1B it with those two. But yeah, great years for both women. Let's go to the champion predictions, AK. We were on the same page for the first three, actually. Strawweight, we both picked Zhang Weili, both incorrect. Men's flyweight, we both picked Davis at Figueiredo. We were both wrong about that. Brandon Moreno, the champion. Rose Namajunas, the strawweight champion. Mm-hmm. And then the women's flyweight champion, no surprise, we were both correct. We both picked Valentina Shevchenko.
Yeah,
that easy. Is what happened.
That didn't count.
Maybe I don't deserve this point in a lot of people's eyes, but I'm going to take it. Men's bantamweight, you picked TJ Dillashaw to be the champion at the end of the year. I picked Aljamain Sterling to be the champion at the end of the
counts.
Year.
Oh, you definitely count.
It's a win. It's a victory.
He's the undisputed champion.
This is where things got... Wow. This is where things got a little interesting. Women's bantamweight and women's flyweight champion, AK. I said there would be no champion in either division at the end of the year because I thought Amanda Nunes would have... one more fight, call it a career, and that both titles would be vacant at the end of the year. I was obviously wrong about both of those. You were in agreement with the women's featherweight title being vacant and having no champion, but you also picked Jermaine Durandamy to be your women's bantamweight champion, AK. So we were both incorrect about that.
That was a Nunes retire.
Yes.
Right? Nunes retire thing, yeah.
Featherweight. You were correct, Alexander Volkanovski. I picked Calvin Kattar. That did not work out for me. Worked out
Moving
for
on.
You.
Moving on.
lightweight champion. You picked Islam Makhachev to be the lightweight champion at the end of the year. I picked Mr. Charles Oliveira to be champion at the end of the year. I did. I got it right.
What? What? Where was Charles at that point? He had just beaten
Tony Ferguson.
Wow. I think I thought I think I wanted Oliveira. I guess I pictured either Oliveira winning it and then losing to Makhachev, or them fighting for a vacant title and Makhachev beating. I'm not sure. I don't know how I came. I'd love to know how I came to the conclusion of Makhachev. And you know me, I'm all in on Charles Oliveira bandwagon. So it's like, I wouldn't make that same pick now. If you asked me tomorrow, if that was the next matchup that was made, who would I pick? I'm going Oliveira. Well done.
I got that one right. Nice. I mean, it was amazing, because if that was asked that in March, I might not have picked Charles Oliveira. I might not have picked him. I probably would have went with Dustin Poirier, if we're being honest. Mm-hmm. Welterweight, we both went with Kamaru Usman. That was correct. Middleweight, mm-hmm. You went with Israel Adesanya. Correct. I went with Robert Whittaker. Mm. Incorrect, but that could change in 2022.
A couple months, yeah.
Light heavyweight, we both picked Israel Adesanya, and we were both incorrect, but
I had no confidence in Jan Blachowicz.
And then heavyweight.
I never have.
And then the heavyweight champion, we were both right. We both said Francis Ngannou would be the heavyweight champion at the end of the year. He might be the most interesting story heading into 2022 about where his contract stands, where he ends up at the end of the year, and will he end up in Bellator, the PFL, or Eagle FC, or maybe him and Dana White will, and his management team will all get together and be best of friends. So there we go.
Go to the PFL, Francis.
Go to the PFL. So overall, I'm not going to count all these, but you defeated me in the predictions.
Locktagon, if you're out there. No, don't tally these, please.
Locktagon, come on, do it. No, I'm just kidding. But now we got to go from our We Caliente bold prediction for the year. We try to reach down into the depths of prediction land, and yours didn't happen, but it's something that is still being discussed. It is still a major story heading into 2022. Because right now, we don't know what's going to happen with one Kayla Harrison. But your bold prediction is that the UFC would find a way somehow to do Amanda Nunes versus Kayla Harrison in 2021. And that is a very real possibility in 2022. Even after Nunes losing the title, but it did not happen in 2021. But it was a good pick, AK. It was a very good pick. And it was something that, you know, I don't know how bold you can get at this point. Because I feel like we're at a time in the sport where anything is possible. Like, anything can happen, right?
Did either of us predict Jake Paul would become the number one name in combat sports in 2021?
No.
I mean, what the hell happened, Mike? Where are we as a society? Like, that was, I think, like, around, it was after maybe the Woodley fight. We were all kind of joking, like, is Jake Paul, like, the best, like, the most, like, the biggest boxer of 2021? Or is he the biggest, like, we're looking at it now after that knockout. And I know there's some reports of some poor pay-per-view buys coming in, which is fine. I think we knew it wasn't going to do anywhere near the first fight. It's just crazy to me. And, you know, when we make our bold predictions, Mike, you're right. I don't know how far I can go now because, like I said, if a prediction comes true, it probably wasn't bold enough. But now literally anything can come true. But, yeah, regarding the Nunes-Harrison thing, I'm not sure in my mind how I thought the timing would work out there, because there is a full season of, like, I guess I hadn't thought about when the season would end, and they would have to negotiate with Kayla and have her come in fight in the last, like, couple 2 months of the year. It could have been like a December headliner or something. I don't know. But yes, I was maybe just jumped the gun a little too far ahead on that one. And I'll stand by it. But it's certainly not a bold prediction anymore. There's nothing bold about it if it happens in next year or in 2023.
Yeah, I think because they're both on ESPN, maybe they would, like, come together and just, like, work out some sort of deal where the fight would happen. So my bold prediction, we both laughed at this prediction, AK. We both laughed at it because this came at a time where there were celebratory dances going on. There were hit piece videos being released by the UFC. And my bold prediction was that the relationship between Dana White and the MMA media would be in a rebuilding stage, that it would be much better at the end of the year, that he would get along with more of the media members would get along with him much more, that the relationship would blossom much more than it did heading out of 2020. We both laughed hysterically at that pick. But you know what, AK? There's a chance that that happened. There's a chance. Now, let's just throw this out there. There are certain media members that did not get that shine, certain individuals. But for the most part, I don't think, like, Dana did his whole spiel about certain media members and that were the biggest P words covering the most violent sport. He goes on Barstool and says all this dumb shit. But for the most part, I think the relationship was much better in 2021 after 2020. Because, I mean, you know about this video that was since deleted. Because you were part of the damn video, the Fight Island. No one thought we could do it. No one thought we could do it, which is the biggest bunch of BS of all time, by the way. But I don't know. I don't know if I should. Do I get a half point? Because I feel like it was much more improved.
Perhaps there was an element of absence making the heart grow fonder, Mike, you know, because the media hasn't been able to be at every event, or wasn't, I should say, you know, during the when the pandemic happened. And then now we're a little bit back to normal where the media is in person. Even at the Apex, we've had the media there to some of those. So there's some element of that. But like you said, he called them out. I won't repeat that. But also he certainly bristled at fighter pay talk. He blamed the media for the fighter pay even being caught in the conversation, which is absurd. So, Mike, if you want to take an ought no prediction point, I say have at it. But I don't know. I don't know if he just got a little bit better at hiding his disdain, or couldn't muster up the energy to get into these sort of a verbal scrap with any of the media. Or maybe I just haven't been paying close enough attention to some of these press conferences. But I do feel like we're still sort of where we are. I think there's just some goodwill, some relief from things, quote-unquote, returning to normal, at least for the UFC. So in that sense, he's probably just been in a better mood. But overall, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop on this. I don't trust him. That's a snake waiting to bite. So I cannot give you that point. Mike, you can give yourself the point if you like.
I'm going to take an incomplete on that one.
Okay.
I'm going to take an incomplete. I think we still...
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Me too. I mean, can't we all just get along? I can't wait for the bold predictions for 2022. This should be a lot of fun. We're going to have to dig really deep for said predictions. But, okay. So, this is part one. This is us rehashing. AK is the predictions extravaganza champion for 2021. 2022 is coming up. And we need your help, okay? You guys and gals have been so good at submitting your matchmaking ideas, asking questions for the Ask Us Anything episodes. You guys have been tremendous. So we're going to ask for your help once more. And we want you to be creative with these, okay? I mean, you heard some of these questions from last year. Like the Diaz brothers, Uriah Faber comparison. Like, that's a great question. All these different things. Making little comparisons. Kevin Holland fighting for a title. Hamzat, no. Like, just some interesting, thought-provoking questions. Some buy-sell things. Like, don't be writing paragraphs about things that you need. You know, these long-winded answers. The answer should be yes or no, buy or sell. But let's get creative with some of this stuff. So you know how to do that. Just do what you normally do. AK, you could throw out your stuff because you get the majority of them. I get some, but you get most because people trust you more than they trust me with this kind of stuff.
Well, last week, did I get the buy sell? I thought you handled getting all the buy sell questions last year.
I did. Yeah. We kind of put it together. We got a few, but most of them were just like,
okay.
People, how I used to do the show is people would just send them throughout the year and it would just compile this thing. So I just pulled them all up and went with those. But
yeah.
But now we have, like, I feel like we have much more of a broader platform where we can
certainly
both see it.
Yeah, well, guys, you know, guys, sneak into my DMs, please, on Twitter, at Alexander K. Lee, Instagram, Alexander K.K. Lee, email alex.lee@sbnation.com. And, yeah, let us know. I know some of you guys had prediction. You know, we just did the Q&A episode, the Ask Us Anything, and there was a lot of, like, prediction questions, and we didn't get to those. We were kind of saving them.
Yep.
So if you guys want to kind of maybe send those again, maybe just rephrase them slightly, just be a little more specific, send some specific 2021 buy-sell questions, we'd be very happy to answer those. So, yeah, guys, be very – like Mike said, be creative because, yeah, we got some awesome – you know, just going over these ones, I remember how awesome your input was last year, guys. So – yeah, please hit us up.
Yes, it's going to be a very interesting year. The next 3 years, like I've said before, and I'll say it again, we're in that time where we're thinking about the future of the fight business. This is like, hey, in 5 years, cars are going to fly kinds of conversations. Like, we are in a very interesting place in the combat sports world. And people talk about the Jake Paul, Tyron Woodley fight not doing great on pay-per-view. The Amalie Arena sold out. I mean, there were almost 19,000 people in that arena, and they were there from the jump, from the very first fight. It was wild. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. Seeing it with my own eyes, they sold out a freaking professional sports stadium for a fight between Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley. There was a ton of people there. They all went bananas, and people cared. Like, you may not have dropped $60, but I guarantee you probably six figures of people watched it through maybe nefarious means.
Sure.
Means we shouldn't, but... the interest is still there. Maybe they just didn't want to spend $60 on it.
And the clip is viral. Look, that knockout. That's your mom's asking you the next day. Did you see the YouTube guy? Did you see the YouTube guy knock out the UFC guy? So that's big. You cannot put a price on that kind of exposure. So like we said, maybe the immediate returns not so great for that second fight, but I mean, this keeps the Jake Paul brand moving, and it's chugging along into 2022.
AK, do you have a Otno programming New Year's resolution?
Oh, that's a good question. You mean like MMA related, specifically related to our show?
Yeah, our show. I mean, whatever you want to throw out there, it could be related to the show. I have one.
I want to, for this coming year, I want to dig a little deeper into, like when people, I don't always read out people's explanations for picks. I should do that more. I think people notice I kind of go, I want to include everyone. So unfortunately, this may be at the expense of all the picks being read out. But also, I think there's a lot of people who put a lot of time into why they make their picks. And guys, I read everything. I just don't necessarily read it on the show. So I always appreciate it. But I think I should make a better effort of reading out some of the more well thought out, like odd no picks.
I have two. One is to kind of like tighten up the show a little bit. I mean, the listeners just dominate it, and I love
sure.
it. Yeah, so maybe a little bit. But my other one is I want to create, like, we have like an Otno meme. We have a fan does an Otno meme
yes.
page. I just want to create like an Otno Instagram page, like where you just submit everything oh. to the two of us in one spot.
Oh,
just make life easier. We could just go in there and just go, like, rather than have to dig through, like, because I mean, I love doing the show, but sometimes Sunday mornings we're just like, oh my God, we have to go through like seven different locations to find these matchups, and it can get a little crazy. My goal is to tighten that up and just find like one home for all of these suggestions.
I don't mind that. And then, you know, and just a place people can check and see, you know, just a little, you could do a little post for every episode, things like that. And yes, I like this. And shout outs, by the way, Michael Conifry for the current Otno meme page, which, again, when we start our own Otno page, they can live together in harmony.
Yeah. So. I mean, we're just going to be like, here's this episode that is released. But submit your picks here. Like, it's just going to be for the DM.
Go.
That's it.
That's it.
What it's going to be. We're not going to steal Michael Conifray's shine, because that page is amazing.
Hilarious.
It's not even really an Otno page. Sometimes, you know, other members of the staff get thrown into the mix, and it's
roasted.
All fun.
Roasted.
Casey Lydon is training montages. It's all good stuff. So, all right. So that is part one of the predictions extravaganza. AK, congratulations on your 2021 win. Next week, one of my favorite shows of the year. We knock it out right away. The 2022 predictions extravaganza. Buy-sell questions, fighter of the year predictions, champions at the end of the year predictions for the UFC, and of course, the muy caliente bold prediction for 2022. Submit your questions. Just like AK said, you can send them to me on Instagram as well, m_heckjr. And that's it. We appreciate you guys joining us very much. Congratulations once again to AK for his victory.
Stop.
Yes.
Stop.
Happy New Year to you all. And we're going to kick off. We're going to continue 2022 in a big way with the 2022 Predictions Extravaganza right here next week on to the next one, the podcast.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.